Blog Talk Radio.
He is the last of his kind. All that remains of a once powerful nation. Some think he is a myth. Some believe he is the chosen one, who will bring balance to a world at war. And some will stop at nothing to destroy him.
Okay, Moors, listen up. Starting this Wednesday coming, Tahaga presents the online conference call. The call-in number to dial is 712-432-3100. The access code, 865-074. That's 712-432-3100. Access code 865074. Make sure you're there. Lined up 7:45 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's Wednesday night at 7:45 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're going to deal with internet marketing. We're going to be able to converse with one another, and so that we can get a lot of work done here in the United States. We're going to be dealing with your mortgage problems, your student loans, whatever it is. Dial into our Wednesday night conference call starting at 7:45 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The call-in number once again is 712-432-3100. Access code 865074. See you Wednesday night.
Welcome, Moors and Moors Talk Live 100. I'm your host, Tahaka Amana Elbay, and this evening broadcast is the United States Deaf Camps. We're going to get in there and deal with that. We're also going to talk about the disposable coffins and stuff, and we're going to be dealing with the following questions. How will the United States Deaf Camps affect so-called black people in America? Who are the disposable coffins for? Will the Treaty of Peace and Friendship save the Moors? What Moorish flag should we use? Now, we want to deal with these last two because we've had a whole lot of talk about the flag and, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And me personally, if you're busy doing what you're supposed to be doing, you ain't got time to be worried about what kind of flag you're supposed to have and all that kind of stuff. But we want to lay it out. And our special guest this evening is the Grand National Chairman of the Moorish Government. Elihu Pleasant Bay will be with us this evening, and he's going to be guiding us along in quite a bit of information. After we start off, after the first hour or so, we will open up the phone lines. If you have questions in regards to the subject tonight, raise your hand. We'll open up the line. That way you can get in, and I'll ask you questions. Why will the U.S. put Negro, Blacks, and African Americans in concentration camps? How important is it for colored people to have a nationality? Can there be a real Negro Mason? What will happen to a Negro, Coloreds, and Blacks who refuse to acknowledge a nationality? These are just a few of the things that we're going to deal with here this evening, and I'm certainly glad that you all come out to listen to this broadcast, and we're going to try to dispense as much information and knowledge as we possibly can. Keep in mind, once again, tomorrow night at 7:45 p.m., we will have our wealth building class. And in these classes, there are quite a few people out there that's trying to run a little online business, and you have businesses and stuff, and you don't have the necessary marketing skills. And what I do is I teach you how to go about using your internet to your internet service to market whatever it is successfully, so that you will be able to have a good financial conversion rate. And we get with you. It's a workshop. So not only do you want to call in, you want to have pencil and paper, have your internet up. That way you can go exactly where I tell you to go and do exactly what I tell you to do. And then you can look at your conversion from there. That's every Wednesday night at 7:45 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We not only deal with the internet, we deal with other things when it comes to business and showing you how to be self-sufficient, have your own thing going, so you won't have to be dependent on Rome for your survival. Okay, and this is why we're doing this, to give you an opportunity to make sure that you're able to be successful at what you're doing. The number to call in is 712-432-3100. The access code to dial is 865074. That's 865074. The number once again, 712-432-3100, and that's 7:45 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Wednesday evening. We have this going on. Okay, now we're going to open up the phone line and see if my guest is here, so that we can begin and so that we can get this information out to you. This should be very, very informative for us. Keep in mind, if you got problems with your mortgage, your student loans, or what have you, go to www.newfreehelpgroup.com. And when you get there, give me a call, and we can find out where you are. We can address this situation and see if we can get some remedy to you. I'm going to open up this line. Area code 434. Are you with us?
Peace and blessings. Are you there?
Yes, sir, Grand National Chairman. We hear you loud and clear. Welcome to the broadcast.
All right, all right.
And we would, before we begin, if you would lead us in prayer, we'll all pause for that, and so we can get started.
Oh, that's the custom. Thank you. Let's begin with prayer, Moors. Lord, the Father of the universe, Father of love, truth, peace, freedom, and justice, that the Lord is our protector and my God and my salvation by night and by day, through his holy prophet, Juali. Amen.
Amen. Okay.
All right.
Mr. Grand National Chairman, before we get down into the question call, we got quite a few new people here. A lot of these people may not be aware of the Moorish government, may not be aware of what it's designed to do and all that stuff. Could you give us a brief background on you and what you do and what we have going?
Okay. We have put together, because of the binding of the, well, let me just give the history just briefly. We as a people have suffered slavery for some disobedience against the universal order that we've done. We was over in Africa, Europe, and this is the thing we had no business doing. And as a result of that, as a punishment, we ended up in slavery here in the West. But slavery, always a divine issue. It only lasted roughly around about 400 years or so, give or take. And in our case, it was the exact same amount of time, except someone extended it for a period a little longer, even after they abolished it. For example, here in the United States has never known what it's like to be without its staple of slaves. It did have slaves during the time of the colonies. It had slaves during the time when it was a sovereign country, the United States, up to 1871. And after then, when it became a corporation again, it still had slaves, people that they had from the birth certificate as Negro, Black, and Colored. So Noble Dwali came along And as a custom of all the prophets before him, down through the thousands of years that come to be save their people from that enslavement. What he did, he brought us everything that it took for us to be able to save ourselves as a nation of people. This includes having a government, because what happened to us during the time of slavery, there's a word that's called denationalization or denationalized. This is a word, it's a word of a high-risk crime. It ranks real high with treason and genocide, a lot of among the things you're not supposed to do to a people. And so we were denationalized, meaning that we were customarily taken away, or systematically taken away from the nations of the earth. We were totally unidentified and renamed during the time of slavery, something that was totally obsolete and untouchable as far as the nations was concerned. For example, when you mention Greece, you think about the people, Greeks. You mention Japan, you think about the people, Japanese. So the names of the people usually matches the name of the land, which deal with the free national name or the nationality. But in our case, there's no such thing as black land or colored land, Negro land, or nothing like that, because these are names that were given to slaves, like you would name anything that you own. If you own a car, you might call it Betsy. If you own a dog, you might call it Butch, Spot, Fido, whatever, you know, because it's yours. So whenever you own something, you name it whatever you will. So since they owned us as property, and we'll be getting that a little later with the treaty, then they felt at liberty to name us. So this was the Masons, a European pale-skinned Mason. They named us Negro, Blacks, and Colored. And that they brought that back. Even after they abolished slavery, they brought that back. So what we're doing now is freeing ourselves so that we can be just like all the other nations of the earth and reattach ourselves back to the human family of nations. Everybody has one free national name that you can trace themselves to their ancestors or the descendant line, and that's what we are doing as the Morris American government. This is what Noble Dwali came to do with all the teachings he brought with him back out of Egypt. And he brought these teachings to such a high level that he was able to prepare a table before us in the very presence of our enemy, the United States, namely. And he was able to do this by establishing an organization called the Morris Science Temple back in 1913. And with that, he brought everything that it took to teach us how to be who our forefathers were, so that we can reattach ourselves. It's up to us to free ourselves. No one, the United States is not responsible for freeing us or for making us the people. That's not their responsibility. And you, neither do you want them to have that responsibility, because anybody that can free you would also have the power to enslave you again. So it's best that you free yourself and have enough love about you that you would research and find out exactly who you are, enough that you'll be able to see the worth and the value within yourself to know that you should be free. And you cannot make a decision as long as you're under the auspices of another man's government. So we have the Morris American government, as all nations have a government to enforce its laws. So that's what the Morris American government is all about. Okay? Okay. Now I'm ready. Whatever question you got, I'm with you, Mo.
All right. Now, just at the outset, how can a person that's new here listening to this for the very first time, how can they register with their government and begin to do the research about their nationality, their culture, and their ancient story and their connection to a specific landmass, just like all other nations on earth? Where do they go to get that done?
Well, the first thing that one would do, since we are living in the age of technology, is to find yourself a computer with an internet and go to the Morris American Government website. That's www.morrisamericangov for government, G-O-V. That's morrisamericangov.org. And go there and you can register, because Noble Dwali clearly says that the only place that you can proclaim your nationality is before the government in which you live, your own government. This is the only place you can live. The government of the United States, being a corporation, you can't call that living. That ain't living, okay, because you're a slave as long as you're under the jurisdiction of the United States. It doesn't make any difference what you call yourself. You can call yourself Negro, Black, you can call yourself Wachita, you can call yourself Nuwabian. It don't make a damn difference. You're still a slave until you become a nation of people in one free national name. And collectively, there's over 60 million of us. So it will become very obvious when we all have the same free national name, okay?
Okay. And there's a conference call that you all have 7 days a week, and also that they can dial in. Conference call, you want to dial in at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You have that number handy?
Yeah, we have a conference call 7 days a week because our job is to educate our people. So we have an educational class 7 days a week, starting at 7:15. We have a registration for 6:45 to 7:15. And that number is 559-726-1200. That's 559-726-1200. And the participation code is 107-985. And that will, all meetings will begin promptly at 7:15. And tonight, we have we got 12 different departments within the government. And tonight, we have the Sisters of the Morris Goddesses in Queens. They have their program going on in just a few minutes. And then on tomorrow night, you have the Morris Department of Herb Health and Healing, and it just goes on and on from there. We have the State of the Nation on Mondays, and it just goes on. 7 days a week, we are educating our people how to be Morris American. You've got to be taught. It takes a chicken to teach a chicken how to be a chicken. So in order to be a free Morris American, you've got to have a Morris American who's already established along the lines of freedom, been to the UN, know what it takes to join the nation of the earth. And that's what we're here to do, teach our people how to be themselves, Morris Americans. That's what we do.
Okay. All right. Well, that puts it in a nutshell with that. So I guess we'll get on down and into the subject. I noticed that you mentioned the European, pale-skinned Europeans in regards to Masons. But what about the so-called Negro, Coloreds, Blacks, African-Americans, Afro-Americans, and in regards to being a Mason, what's going on with that?
Well, according to all the ancient records, the one thing that precedes freedom is truth. It would take truth to make you free. And so I'm not one known for, biting my tongue. The truth of the matter is there's no such thing or animal or existence or entity as a African Western Freemason. It's impossible. Western Freemasonry was set up and designed, although they got the majority of the foundation of their orientation, they got it out of Egypt, of course. All the wisdom comes out of Egypt anyway. But right out of the halls of Luxor, they found out that along the lines of freedom, what it takes. Okay. Well, they learn how also to invert all the teachings. For example, we have a five-pointed open green star. It's an upright star, open. The Masons, on the other hand, have taken the same star under the goat of Mendez and turned the star upside down. In fact, we got a bunch of sisters running around that they call Eastern Stars, and the star is completely inverted, standing on its head, and they're just as proud of it as they can be. Well, the thing about it is, what they don't realize is that they, like their male counterparts who call themselves Masons, they've been had also. In order to be a Mason, according to their order, and I'm talking about a Western Freemason, I'm not talking about Prince Hall and the rest of it, because Prince Hall was a noted Negro, I don't care where he was born. Once you're in the United States and you're under their jurisdiction, you're Negro, colored, and black. That's the way it is to this very day. So don't make no mistake about it. In order to be a Western Freemason, you must be pale-skinned, male, age 21, with sound mind and body. That's the most leading criteria to be a Western Freemason. Now, when Prince Hall came on the scene and they asked him to become a Mason, then what they used him for, that was Britain, because that was during the time of the colonies. There was no United States at this time. And Britain used him to be a spy so that the Negro slaves would tell Britain who actually owned the colonies, okay? And all the colony was subject to British rule. British had slavery in their constitution, the enslavement of African people in their constitution. The colonies didn't have a constitution because they were just corporations, businesses under the UK, as you call it, contracts, okay? So Prince Hall's job, like all other slaves, Prince Hall's job was to snitch and to report to the redcoats, to Britain, whenever they showed up, tell them exactly, he was obligated to tell them exactly what was going on with the slave masters here in the colonies, okay? Be it later George Washington, Thomas Jay, didn't make a dime worth of difference. Tell them what's going on, okay? What have you been hearing? They've been discussing and everything. And it's that way to this very day. Anybody who calls himself Negro, colored, black, or otherwise nationless Moors, and they want to call themselves a Mason, they got to check out a couple of things. Number one, to be a Mason, they got to turn to say free, ancient, and accepted. All righty then. Let's see how that applies to a Negro male or a black male or Afro-American male. How, if you're ancient, this means you got to have a little bit of age on you. You got to go back at least a few 10,000 years or better, okay, just to be ancient. But all Negro, the black people, Afro-American, was made right here in the United States. How old is that? The United States, it was 1779? A little bit better than 200 years old, its own self. So how in the world can a slave be older than the slave master, the one that made him, okay? Ancient, okay, free. No, there's no such thing as a free Negro. There's no difference between a free Negro and a Negro slave. They're both Negroes. So how are you going to call yourself free black man because you think you're a Mason? You ain't fooling nobody. You're still in the same coffin, the same shallow grave as the rest of your people. And you're still being, you know, they don't even use no grease on you. Okay. Now, we're going to talk about being accepted. Well, now you're talking about allegiances. You're talking about treaties and governments and things. Who in the world accept black people? Who? Nobody. Right now, remember the little hurricane with Katrina? And even Cuba to give a hand to help the so-called refugees. they call you anything down there, aliens, okay? They call you anything. But even Cuba, no other country is allowed to come in to help so-called black people. That's taboo because they're property. You're not going to come in my yard and do nothing with my dog. That dog is in my yard. He's my food. He's on my chain. That's my dog. And that's the way the United States look at their black people. So, and that includes especially those who call themselves Masons, Boules, Eastern Stars, Daughters of Isis, and all. They're nothing but puppets on the strings of the European government to satisfy the slave masters. And a slave will never be greater than his master. That's not new, okay? So where is your so-called, let's ask any Negro Mason or Eastern Star or whatever, all right, where is your country? Where is your government? Where is your freedom at? Because all the other people got theirs. Even the United States has got although it's a corporation, they still got a flag. They got 50 stars in their flag. Every last one is closed, however, which means they got boundaries, jurisdiction. But still, they got it. They got now. Where's yours at? What about the flag of your forefathers? What that look like? Constitution. You don't have one? How you call yourself free? and somebody else is naming you shortly after you're born on your birth certificate in the state where you were born, all persons born are hereby what? Subject to the jurisdiction, and now they're going to try to make you a citizen. You cannot make property a citizen. No more you can make, let's say a horse. That's property. A dog, a car, that's property. But if the horse decided to kick down somebody's door or fence or something, or the car running down the street to cause a brake broke off, or the dog mess around and bite somebody, they do not take the dog, the horse, or the car to court. Why? Because the property ain't got no defense in the court of law. But they take the Negroes in there, and why? Because they got to convict them, duly convict them of a crime. Not saying that the first crime was committed against them when the United States purposely denationalized them shortly after they were born and then gave them a birth certificate with the state seal on it and, to make it worse, a Social Security number to back it up with, which certifies them as property. And they have to take that as in other words, they are subjected to a life of perpetual slavery from the womb to the tomb. Okay, and then they want to call themselves a Mason because they done went to some college and joined some fraternal order and got to scratching and digging and looking crazy, and with no country to back it up with, no history, no, they still right there. Whatever the United States tell them to do, that's what they do. You got some mighty rich Eastern stars. Look at Oprah, okay? Rich, she ain't wealthy, just rich. But there's not been a season where you've had slaves in any dominion where the slaves, you didn't have some rich slaves. You got a Clarence Thomas sitting on the Supreme Court bench. And look at all the priests, Al Sharpton, all Jesse Jackson, all these are Masons. And where are they doing? Where are they leading their people to? In the same shallow grave that a United States buried a man back in 1779. The same shallow grave. 13th, 14th, 15th Amendment, okay? Or Article 1, 3/5 of all other persons. They ain't even let you be a whole person. So that's there's no such thing as a black Mason. Impossible. Because a Mason's job is to enslave, subjugate the entire continent of Africa and all its inhabitants. That's what Western Freemasons do. That's all they can do. They can't do nothing else. That's like a pair of handcuffs. The handcuffs can only restrain you. They can't do nothing else. Okay? So Western Freemasons can't do nothing else but enslave Africans. They don't know nothing else. The United States has never been without its slaves. They don't know how to act. So that's what I have to say about slaves, Negro, black slaves, or what have you, okay?
Okay. But
I'm not trying to be a slave, but give you the truth.
I know, but I keep running to brothers and talking to brothers on the phone, and they tell me that they are Masons as if it's something proud to be proud of, like it's supposed to hold some type of meaning to something. And I just wanted to make sure that we get a clear and concise understanding when it came to people who look like me that perhaps proud of being something. And I just want to make sure that we get that out so that we would have a clear and concise understanding of exactly what it is that you are attempting to be proud of. Now,
there's no such thing as a Negro Freemason. Impossible. Impossible. You cannot be a Mason and a free person, too. Not if you're African. Impossible.
Well, that makes a lot of sense to me, and I marvel at them, and I don't mess with them. I mean, they had a chest.
We got a lot of brothers, Cecilia, my beloved brother Tar Tariq, who was taught by C.M. Bay, who wrote The Clock of Destiny. Oh man, for the love of money, you can't tell Tar he's not a Mason, and he calls himself a Mo too sometimes. But that's why they're still nationless.
Hmm.
And I'm not saying him out. It goes to all of them. You know, I call them all out. Robert Lovehill of the Morris Science Temple, Jones Bay, all of that. The Morris Science Temple, just like churches, they all of them got preachers, and at the very pulpit, at the podium, you got a mason.
Huh.
And a mason's job is to enslave Africa, not free them. Mason don't have the power to free nobody. Not a Negro mason. Let me correct that, okay? A European mason, he can't free you because he don't know how. That's not his job. His job is to enslave you.
Well, what about the, because I've had quite a few shows, and I've been on other shows and stuff, and I've listened to the brothers on there who are calling themselves Moors, and they seem to be under the impression that the Treaty of Peace and Friendship is something that we need to be holding on to. What's the background on that? What's the skinny on that there?
Well, again, our people, Noble Dwali calls it best. He calls it mental slavery. I've noticed that here they had this Veterans Day, Monday, yesterday, mm-hmm. whenever, and they're giving honor to those in the military who have suffered a loss of limbs, and mainly those who are suffering due to post-traumatic, post-traumatic trauma, slave. Well, we got another term for it. We call it post-traumatic slave syndrome, okay? But no one, it's okay for the military, because according to the United States, that's the only place this kind of trauma exists. The psychological effects of being traumatized only happens in the military when you've been on the front line watching war and death and hearing gunshots all the time, bombs going off, whatnot. And that traumatized you to a certain psychic that you just bring that with you. But nobody talks about 60 million of us who's been traumatized for the last 520 years. When you can't be a nation of people, you're not recognized by nobody. You don't have no power, no government. You got no sovereignty, no jurisdiction. You can't call no shots. You got to imitate your slave master, even if you have to be a judge in a court. Okay? That's trauma. You've been traumatized. Okay? So when it comes down to the treaties and things, our people, they wouldn't know a treaty was to kiss them in the mouth. Especially, we got a group of Moors here that down in the South Carolina area. They call it the Sundry Moors, the Sundry, and they're in love with the Moroccan Treaty because they have misconstrued some of the language that's used in the treaty that make a distinction between citizens and cargo. And they thought they was decimal because they mentioned the term Moors in the treaty. So they assumed that they were there, not realizing that you had many Africans at that time that was responsible, that was actually catching and selling slaves. The Europeans didn't have access to the interiors of Africa. Okay? So these were those who was under the so-called, I'm not going to call it, well, they call it Al-Islam, okay, the Islamic creed. That's not true Islam. I could go through it. That's a whole other class. But nevertheless, these are under the Arabian influence who even the Holy Prophet Muhammad could not stop his Arab people from catching Africans and enslaving them, okay? Bilal, one of his most loyal subjects, was an Ethiopian slave. So when it come down to the interiors of Africa, the European nations, they never got into the interiors of Africa during those early days. Those Africa was captured by other Africans and then sold and brought to the coastline and sold into slavery at the behest of those that's mainly under the Moroccan demise, because under that dominion, Morocco was known as Egypt of the West. It was ahead of the whole entire diaspora of the from the Gibraltar Strait in that whole area, Tunis, Tripoli, Algiers, Egypt, Morocco, all that, you know. And the Gibraltar, right there where Morocco is at, it crossed, it had a toll. You had to pay homage to Morocco because it was the one that had all the ships that was controlled by the Muslims. And you could not go into the Atlantic, or you could not enter into the Mediterranean and go eastward to many countries unless you come through the Gibraltar Strait. So Morocco was exercising their powers over their dominion to control the waterways, and this is how they became such a great asset to the new United States. Okay, that George Washington, who was the ninth president of the colonies, he became the first president of the new United States. But as a result of being friendly with Morocco, Morocco gave George Washington the money, meaning gold, in order to pay his people in the colonies to finance the war to win their independence from the U.K. And the way you might ask the question, where did Morocco get the money from? Well, that's very simple. Morocco had been enslaving Moors since 1492. They started the West African slave trade under the Islamic creed known as, I call it Islam, because they're not really following the Quran. A lot of Moors, they call themselves Sunni. They wouldn't know what the Islam was. It was a kiss them in the mouth. And for example, if you find a Muslim right now facing the Kaaba, facing the east, five times a day, calling himself, making salat for prayer, do you know that's wholly out of order of everything that's in the Quran? In the Quran, when Muhammad was asked that, say, you are the face, the place is most dearest unto you. Noah Dwali had to bring that out when he brought the truth back and said, you face the place that's dearest unto you. Well, there's not a dime worth of difference between the place most dearest and the place most nearest. It's all right there at the top of the head. It's inside the head, the center. Call it the sixth and the seventh chakra if you want to. Okay? Go through, in other words, you become acquainted with the self because you were created as a spirit and a part of the great creator, Allah himself. So therefore, in order for you to pray, that means that you are using the language and the food and get the nourishment from the divine source of your origin. You don't have to face any time you face something and pray to and worship anything outside of you, then you are instantly a pagan. I don't care who you are. You can call yourself Muslim, Jew, Christian, I don't care what you call yourself. But if you pray to any god outside of yourself, you're a pagan. Because that's not what the law calls for. The newest place to meet the great God is in the heart. It's just like the battery in a car, okay? You got to have it. But anyhow, getting back to the jurisdiction that Morocco had, this is how they acquired their monies. They were already capturing slaves for the last 200 years, okay? Already captain Moors from under the Arabian banner of what they call Islam, okay? And this is how Morocco and the United States became on such friendly terms. Because George Washington wanted to, by him being a Mason, there was only two forms of Masons at this time. And you got to bear this in mind. You had the York Rite and the Scottish Rite Order. Both of these are pale-skinned people, bartenders, okay? So the people in the colonies, Britain had handed down a law called the Black Code Law in 1774 that said that, look, this is what you call them African. Once you got them over there, and you know, and they were covered by the millions by this time, okay? Then you call them Negro, Black, and Colored. They passed the Black Code Laws. Well, that may seem all well and good, but that led up to the what later was going to be the Moroccan Treaty, okay? The treaty of what's so-called peace and friendship between Morocco and the United States, that came about in 1780. It actually started in 1786. It wasn't completed until 1787. But nevertheless, the key to the treaty is that a lot of our people think that there was a friendship treaty between Morocco and the United States, but they haven't really interpret the language that's in the treaty. For example, the treaty, I got on page 3 and page 2 of my, the lesson that I put out there concerning the treaty. When you concern the treaty, there's two terms that they use. It's the Treaty of Amity, A-M-I-T-Y.
Amity.
Thank you, Mo. I'm a little bit Russian. The Treaty of Amity and Commerce, okay? In other words, it's a treaty of peace and trade. Peace and trade. But see, our people here, they caught up. We got a treaty with Morocco. Well, let's find out if we got a treaty with the United States, okay? Noble Ali says in Act 6 of his divine constitution that anything that happened between 1779 and 1865 here especially here in the West was as a result of our enslavement, not our freedom. It had to do with our enslavement. For example, like the Constitution of the United States was written in 1779. And right there in the very first article, the Masons, who were the only citizens of the United States, a lot of people don't realize that, okay? The only people that had rights of citizenry in the new United States were pale-skinned Masons, George Washington and his boys, okay? That's the only people. The women didn't have no rights. Slaves definitely have no rights. And Indians not taxed, okay? Nobody was a citizen of the United States except pale-skinned males that were Masons, okay? The women didn't find it. Miss Daisy and them, they didn't find this out until years later, that after they so-called freed the Negro, that she didn't have no rights either. Boy, she pushed the boogie-woogie and started what is called a feminist movement that's still going on to Hillary Clinton to this day. But anyhow, getting back to the this treaty of peace and friendship, a lot of our people assume that it's just a nice treaty of peace and friendship. No, you got to read that the word commerce, trade and commerce, is used in the treaty repeatedly, because the whole treaty is friendly, true, but what was the most friendly thing, agreeable thing that Morocco, now look at the time, 1787. What was the most agreeable thing between Morocco and the new United States? You got 1,000 miles of water between the two, the Atlantic Ocean. So what could they possibly have in common, okay? Remember now, Morocco is the head right there in the Gibraltar Strait. It controls everything that's going from west to east. You can't get to India, Egypt, nowhere, unless you come through the Gibraltar Strait. There weren't no planes during this time. They were all ships, okay? And no satellites, no internet, none of that, okay? So what happened was when they wrote the treaty, it was about business. You got different kinds of treaties. This particular one, which is most popular, it was about trade and commerce, business. Don't get it twisted, all right? What is the most popular business? Ask anybody in their right mind right now, Amana, you can ask anybody, say, well, look, what was the most popular business around 1786, 87, between the new United States and Morocco? What in Africa, what's the most popular business? And everybody in their right would have to agree, West African slave trade. The capture, the sale, kidnapping, and the bondage, entrapment of human beings. Okay? We're talking about African nationals taken from the tribes and cultures and families and nations and governments and everything. Kidnap. Okay? Why? Because under the Islamic code, the way they did it, said, well, look, they contacted the heads of all the governments, mainly Morocco, said, look, and they made sultans and caliphs and sheikhs out of them. Oh, you the head of the Islamic this, you the head of the Islamic that. But Allah Akbar. And they taught them all this and taught them all that. Because we accepted Islam as like early drinking water. Hey, come on with it. But what they didn't tell the Moors at the time was that they would make a distinction. If we don't say that you are all that you are a good Muslim, then you're an infidel. Okay? You are an infidel. So 98% of the people that used to be citizens of their own government, they was, family members of their own order, okay, cousins and nieces and nephews and aunts and uncles, mothers and fathers and sons, none of that. You either were a Muslim in good standing with the Arabs or you was an infidel. And that was the basis of slavery in Africa. Because they had people looking cockeyed, although they had the Quran. This is the word of Allah. They had the Quran behind their back, making slaves out of people because they gave them the label of infidel. Well, look at it this way. Here in the West, they say who is a Negro. And you don't have the criteria. You don't have the makeup. You don't have the intellect of a white man. So they're the one that made that decision. The same way the Arabs made the decision then as to who could be a Muslim and who was an infidel because it was not Muslim material. These are people from Saudi Arabia making the decision, okay? So that's what made it so bad. Now we come down to the treaty. The Sultan Muhammad of Morocco made an agreement with John Adams and Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, George Washington. Meanwhile, bear in mind now, Moors, please, John Adams, Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, all of these were slave owners. It was a part of prestige to be a Western Freemason and own at least one good Negro of African descent. You got to own at least. That's when they know that you're a good, you're upright Mason. That you're at least a 32nd, 33rd degree. You're upright Mason there with all your parts because you own a Negro. Okay? George Washington and his wife Martha owned over 400 during his presidency. Thomas Jefferson making more babies behind his slave women. He had to leave the country a couple of times. He was making so many babies off with his slave sisters. Okay? Yeah. But I just wanted to point that out, that it was a matter of prestige for a Mason to own a slave, to own African slaves. And this brings it to the attention of why it is that a lot of the sun-dried boys out in South Carolina to this day is pitching a boogie-woogie about we got a treaty with Morocco, with the United States. We was in the treaty. The Moors is in the treaty. Yes, the Moors is in the treaty, but they didn't recognize. See, let me tell you about the United States, Tahaga. This is one thing that a lot of people don't realize. If you were African descent, and they got this movie out now called, what, the 12 Years a Slave, where the so-called Negro was born free. He was a free Negro. And then they caught him and put him in slavery for 12 years down in the South. Okay, that was typical because people were thinking there was a distinction between a free Negro and a Negro slave. But it's not a dime worth of difference. One is just working harder than the other. One is in the house, the other is in the field. They're both property. Okay? And this is key. The same thing holds true. If you were and there was a lot of Moors that came over here that owned the very slave that they were selling to the United States, and some was riding on the ships, bringing a cargo with them and selling to the United States. Some were able to go back, and they went back in a hurry, But you mess around that drug hiding around here and hanging around the United States because you was a slave owner. It might look good for a minute. You might have been a mo for a minute. But if the United States got a hold of you, you was out of here, and they would not hear from you no more. They didn't have to report you back. So what a lot of the sun-dried Moors are doing, they're trying to make a distinction now saying, look, we were Moors. We were never slaves, and the treaty, we the one who wrote the treaty, and we have a treaty with the United States. But the thing about it is, if you got a treaty with the United States, then why haven't Morocco come over here? Because it's in the treaty. If you a recognized citizen of Morocco, then the United States has got to turn you over back to Morocco. Even if you a slave owner and you're a recognized citizen either of the United States and you're on Moroccan soil, then they got to turn you back to the United States because you're a recognized citizen, okay? Now, if you were not turned back or accepted by the Moroccan government as their own, I don't care how much cheese you eating, you know, the truth of the matter is you still a slave. Now, you can call it the Treaty of Morocco, but if you really look at this treaty, this treaty was not for us. It was about us. Everything about this treaty stinks to high hell with nothing but slavery. That's all it was about, slave trade. And it starts off with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Almighty God Allah. That's where it started with why, because that was a custom of the Arabs. They did everything under the name of the great God Allah. Okay, so all the contracts and treaties and agreements would start off that way. And this was a treaty of peace and friendship, an international contract of diplomacy and harmony of the relationship and allegiances with the new United States. I'm sorry, with the Masons in the United States. George Washington, because they were the only citizens. Was the only citizen there. There was no Negro, nothing. A lot of more talk about the Negro. We have right the Constitution to toss. What is his name? I'm trying to think of the name. But anyway, one of them was he would have write the Constitution. Slaves don't write constitutions, okay? Slaves don't have flag. Oh, yeah, the continental flag, that's our flag. Why would we be the only slaves in history got a flag? Slaves don't have a flag, okay? That was one of the flags come under the British rule from the British Europeans that was fighting one another, okay? See, they had nothing to do with Negroes. Negroes don't have flags. Oh, man. And what's the other thing? Oh, writing treaties. No, we don't have no treaty with the United States. And before you can do that, you must be a government. You got to be recognized as a nation of people. Then you can have the criteria and a foundation for writing a treaty with another government, because the only thing a government respects anywhere in the world is the sovereign powers of another government. That's gospel. That's fact. That's law. Okay? They can write a treaty amongst themselves. Well, whatever. We got treaties with everybody. The United States got treaties. I'm sorry, we. The United States got treaties with China. Everybody. On some level or another, but I was in a federal penitentiary back in the 60s, and I found out then the United States got transfer treaties with most of the countries around the world. If one of their citizens get locked up in the United States, they can subject to be transferred out of there after a certain period of time or after they've been contacted and finished the time that's in the homeland or whatever. But the United States don't have no transfer a treaty with none of the countries in Africa. I wonder why. Because of slaves. They are holding people as hostage in slavery here. So they're not about to turn loose their slaves. If you read the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment, it's nothing but a revision to open up and revise the whole institution of slavery that the people assume has been abolished. Slave was never truly abolished, never. and the treaty of the with Morocco and the United States was Morocco written agreement to say, look, you take them, I don't know them. I don't have nothing else to do with them. You won't have no more trouble out of Africa. We're the head of the Africa, West African continent. Don't worry about it. Okay? And from that day to this, Morocco has never raised an eyebrow or a fingernail to help us under any kind of circumstances. Okay? They so-called abolished slavery in 1865, and it took 100 years of nothing but torture and hangings before they had the civil rights movement, 100 years later. The Klan was having a field day. They even had a new word, what they call picnic, pick a nigger and hang him. Okay, you know, and this was, it created the word picnic, and to this day, everybody want to have a picnic. They don't understand where the word came from. But also, Moroccan treaty, this right here was a declaration of privacy. Look, and when Morocco first signed that treaty, they made it for 50 years. Within the first 2 years of that treaty, do you know the United States turned around and revised it and made it with Morocco's agreement to forever and a day? That's how long Morocco and the United States agreed to have us enslaved here in the here. Period. Okay. And now the United States they pulled us up on the technical level. As a result of this right here, because when it hit us in the head so hard, we didn't wake up when they thought they abolished slavery. And so he said, well, wait a minute, they didn't wake up. So they're still ours. So we got to justify this. So they went back to the lodge, and it came up with all kinds of, well, let's put on the birth certificate. We got to claim on the birth certificate. That way we're on them all their life. Okay? And this, but a lot of them more, they don't read the treaty. They just don't read it, you know. Like Article 6 they were speaking about last night, and I'll read that to you just briefly. If any more shall bring citizens, meaning this, they're not property or that not any effects that they're not provisioned or they're not supplied, meaning in other words, citizens are not slaves. If any more shall bring citizens of the United States or their effects to His Majesty, okay, then those citizens immediately be set at liberty, okay. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, when you read into the treaty, you find out they are constantly talking about slaves. For example, in 12, if any ship of war belong to the United States shall put at any of our ports, that ship shall not be examined for under any pretext, okay, whatever, even though, and this I got to highlight, even though she shall have fugitives on board, okay? Now, the fugitives is another word they use in the treaty for slaves, okay? People that they done stole, these are fugitives. Here's another one. Number 14, dealing with business again. The commerce with the United States shall be in the same footing as the commerce with Spain or with the most favored nation for the time of being with the citizen. Okay. Now let's look at the word commerce. Remember, the treaty is about what? Trade and commerce. Trade and commerce. What's the business? Slaves. Okay. Now let's change the word commerce into African slaves and now see how it sounds. The African slaves with the United States shall be in the same footing as the African slave with Spain, okay? And those that are favored with nations at any time and bound by the citizens, okay? They'll be respected and esteemed a full liberty. If you're not a citizen, you would stuff your yes is grass, okay? Number 15, it calls that slave cargo, okay? What is it? Business. Merchants of both countries shall employ such interpreters and such other persons to assist them in their business as they shall think proper. No commander of the vessel, captain or otherwise, shall transport his African slave, but they use the word cargo, But let's interpret the word cargo. No commander of the vessel shall transport his cargo on board another vessel. He should not be detained in any port. No longer he may think proper that all persons employed in loading and unloading their goods, which is still African slaves, to any other labor whatsoever. Okay? So when you look at these things and you put the term in a proper perspective, the cargo, the goods, the commerce, you're talking about slaves. You're talking about the cargo of a ship. Okay? And they had more ships than Honda got cars now. You know? I mean, the Atlantic Ocean was full of ships. Okay? And nothing but bringing the car. They were bringing over so many ships, so many Africans they were stealing from the continent that they were making slave-breaking islands out of the there were 7,000 islands in the Atlantic, in the Caribbean right now, okay? And every last one of them was transformed into a slave-breaking island of sort, including those off the coast of South Carolina. They would break you there on the island and then take result of you, and then they would take you to the mainland or some other parts of Central or South America. Okay? Which is where Willie Lynch came from, by the way, because his slave was so predominant there. He said, I'll show you how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what it is. You got to look at this this treaty for what it is, okay? All goods, number 18, all goods, African slaves, shall be weighed and examined before they're sent on board to avoid any detention of the vessels, okay? So you got to measure how many slaves you got. How many women, how many children, how many men, da-da-da, male, female, da-da-da, age, what you think it is, okay? What's the health? You got to be weighed. Oh, man. Anyhow.
This
is your show, Mom. I'm fuck all up. What do you want me to what do you want?
I'm glad you brought that out because we wanted to get the get a clear and concise understanding on the Moore's Treaty, and I think this is you did an excellent job. We have somebody in the chat room. They want to know where did you get this information from and how can they go and research this and see this for themselves.
Oh, okay. I'll send it over. Just email me, okay, and I'll send it over to you. I prepared it for my people because, like I said, my people got to know the truth. I just got tired of our people running around talking about we got a treaty, and we ain't got no treaty. When this treaty was written, we were slaves, without doubt or contradiction, and slaves don't write treaties. But anyway, for those who want a copy of this, just email me to my email address. It's the subtitle of my book, Exhuming of a Nation at Hotmail.com. That's four words, exhuming, like digging up a body, exhuming, 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 like digging up a body, of a nation, like digging up a nation, at hotmail.com, exhuming of a nation at hotmail.com, and just request the treaty. Just say treaty in the kind of way you want to spell it, and I'll send it back to you, okay? Same thing with the history of the flag. I'll send you all four of the attachments to your email, but all you got to do is request it, and I'll send it to you. You have a right to know the truth. Now, what you do with the truth, it's up to you. Now, you can't put it on Pleasant Bay. My job is to give it to you.
Okay. Well, I tell you what we're going to do. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, then we can get into the United States and these death camps and these disposable coffins and all of that stuff. But I think this is a wonderful prelude to what we're going to be going into about this stuff here, because now we got the backdrop, we got all the nuts and bolts and wiggle pins and everything in place. So we go back and we'll come back and get on that. So if you hold tight, Grandmaster Chairman, we'll take a minute break and we'll come back.
All right.
It's real simple. First you get the power. Then you get the money as a result of having the power. And as a result of having the two, Now you're officially ready for the girl. Most of us do not understand inside the United States the reason why we, as people of African descent, are in the condition that we are in is because we have no businesses. We have no power. We have no wealth. All the other countries that are here, if you look at the Koreans, the Japanese, the Chinese, the nail industry, the hair industry, and so on and so forth, you don't see these people filling the prisons. Why? Because these people have functioning businesses. Get your own business. Go to newfreehelpgroup.com. Click on the link to Haka Powernomics Network. And when you do, call me, 904-303-9061 before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have the smokiness business going right now, which will generate the capital and set up the network for you to accumulate the wealth you need. And that way you can take back your communities, take your neighborhoods, and transform them into thriving communities. Call me, Tahaka Mount Elbay, 904-303-9061 before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Go to www.newfreehelpgroup.com. Examine that page. Just check out everything on the page. Check out the links. Check out the video. Call me, 904-303-9061 before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Okay. Grandmaster Jim.
Yeah, man.
Now, the United States have these death camps going on. I did quite a bit of research today and put a few videos and stuff up so that the Moors can see that this thing is real and exists in existence. Can you give us some information on the death camps and why do you think the United States got these death camps set up? And you know, who is it for? Is it for people, foreigners, or outside the United States? Or, you know, they got them set up in the United States. They're bringing foreign troops from Russia and Kosovo and all these countries here and put them inside the United States and tell them, well, they got in the United States, they done disappeared, and we don't know where they at, and they got the trucks and equipment and all that. But I'm wondering about this thing. Could you shed some light on the death camps in regards to people of African descent, the Negroes, coloreds, black, African Americans? You know, what's that about?
Well, for one thing, the you got over these concentration camps. I think I explored these things beginning of over 10 years ago. But now they've gotten to the point now where there were 800 of them, coast to coast. And the camps, most of them have railroads, rails, train rails leading in and out of them. Most of them are former military bases. They're supported by over 3,000 chattel cars now that's on the railroad. And also you have on different farms throughout the country, you got millions and millions of what is called disposable coffins. These coffins can hold up to 2, 3, sometimes 4 bodies depending on the size. And they're constructed in such a way that once you seal it and you bury it within any soil and you spray a certain chemical on it, then just in a matter of time, like a month or two, it's the whole thing would become totally dissolved. Now, the reason why you got concentration camps is because you have to go back to the United Nations as far as the United States is concerned. The United States, number one, is a corporation. It's still under the British rule. That's number one. Number two, the United States has never, ever signed the International Genocide Treaty. That's mandatory. It comes up every 10 years at the UN. The United States has never signed it, stating that the reason why, because they have too many illegal aliens, is subject to civil disobedience in their midst. Now, the concentration camps themselves you have to get a good picture. You can go to the internet. Just put in FEMA concentration or FEMA camps, FEMA concentration camps under FEMA, because it's F-E-M-A, FEMA. And they give you the exact location of the camps and everything. And also dispose of coffers, et cetera, to support what we're seeing. The reason why the concentration camps are there is because the only unrecognized or denationalized people, and there's 60 million of us within the confines, are here. And actually, we have actually make up the largest population of any people, period. That includes the Europeans, okay? And but we're also the most powerless. And the reason why the concentration camps are there because the United States has been prophesied, number one, that back in the 20s, Noah Dwali made a statement that the United States only had one more war that they would ever win. And that should be before World War II, which did happen maybe 20 years later or so, 15 years later, and the United States did win, but they never won a war since. They've been in Korea 60 years, they ain't won nothing. The Vietnam, you didn't win there, nowhere, okay? And this means that if World War III ever takes off for whatever reason, and the United States is involved in it, then this means the end of the United States, okay? Mm-hmm. In addition to that, the reason why the concentration camps are there is because the United States has been selling the Moors by their birth certificates and other contracts, like marriage license, driver's licenses, Social Security cards mainly. They've been selling these as living partial, which is the same thing as contractual monies. They got the world to believing in paper money and plastic money. And so as a result of that, it's supported, a lot of people don't realize, but they're supported by human money. And the most accessible human money that's unrecognized as a people and flexible enough to be currency is the so-called black people. They're on the market, they're on the stock exchange and everything. Mainly, they have the prison system. Now, you have to understand that just recently, the private sector of the prison system placed a lawsuit, and this is on the internet too, against the states wherein they have these private prisons set up at, and they're suing the states for not supplying them with enough Negroes according to their agreement, according to their contract, before they built the prison. It's a strictly business, okay? Now, once you're in the prison, then they will force you into certain acts of labor, which you must produce. A lot of people are under pressure to make a driver's license. Trust me. I've been there. They're making anything from furniture to computers to actually the motherboards. They make all kinds of electronic things that they don't even know what the meaning of it is. They got specialized in certain areas, and then they ship them out to be completely elsewhere. Okay? They got other aspects of the furniture. They got other aspects of electronics today. In fact, the prison industry is so foundated. It's on the, like I said, it's on the New York Stock Exchange. Okay, it's on Wall Street. That's how much money they're making. Just off the prison, those that's in prison, and that's only, the United States has the largest prison population of any country in the world. That includes China, and China's got 50 times the amount of, well, not 50, let me get it right, you know, it's got pretty close to 7 times the amount of citizens. China got 1.5 billion people, okay, compared to the United States, 200 and some million, all right? And even at that, if you were to put it on a scale, China's prison population would only come up to something like 2% in proportion to the United States. Okay? That means they are making a industry out of consignment. Now, this is held true with the 13th Amendment, where they allegedly they abolished slavery. But if you read it, it says slavery shall be abolished with the exception of, and there's the word, the master word is except, those who have been duly convicted of a crime. So what they did, they made it possible where that you could take the only property in the world that you could, and you could take that property to court. Okay? The Negro, the black people, ain't got no business in court because they're only property. They're not a good nation of people. They don't have a government, okay? And they're not on the Richter scale of nationhood, nationality, nothing. So the reason why they had the concentration camps laid up is so that and when the unrest comes, and it's going to come from an economical fallout within the United States. In other words, the United States is going to fall. That might be any week now, any day now. It's going to fall financial first. The banks are going to close up first. This is going to create all kinds of havoc all over the country, what is called civil unrest. Well, you got to take into account with Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln was not the president during the time of the Civil War. He was the commander-in-chief of the military. But whenever there's civil unrest within the confines of the United States interiors, the president, the office of the president, is suspended. In fact, the very Constitution of the United States is suspended. And the only thing that counts then is the commander-in-chief and the military. That's the government. That's the only thing that counts. Well, like so, when the United States is already anticipating that when the banks close, because the China, Saudi Arabia, and other countries now finding out that, wait a minute, all this stuff, bought all this money from us and stuff, and you ain't got no gold to pay it up with, because they done sent all the gold that they could find to the U.K., France, and other European countries. It's called the Yellow Brick Road in the Wizard of Oz, okay? And as a result of that, they said, well, you're going to have to give us something. So the United States said, well, at the very least, we can't. That's why I said the United States has never been without its slaves. Well, they can't send people to China. China got enough people, okay? So what they need production. So how are they going to get production? And bear in mind now that over the last 20 years or so, who has taken the place of the Negro in the so-called labor market? Mexican. Okay? They have been replaced on that end. Okay? Like so, they have been replaced on that end, but they have increased the prison population. So with the concentration camps, the reason why they're there is to impound all Negroes, black people, colored people, Afro-America, it does not matter about whether you're Oprah Winfrey or whether you're a slum in the street. It does not matter, okay? You cannot hang out there during the time of civil unrest. All NBCs, Negro, black, and colored, must go. Now, those that put up any kind of resistance, the order is very simple. Kill them. Kill them. Either you're going to voluntarily get in at the point of a gun, get your high part in the charter car or whatever. They got stadium, they got underground tunnels and things where the subways are and stuff in most of the heavier cities. They got other areas that they can house people by the tens of thousands, okay? All in stadiums and stuff until the trains can take you to the camps. This is all over the place. Don't care how big it is. Right here in this little town of Cambridge where I live at, they got warehouses that used to be tobacco warehouses for tobacco sales. Hey, that must sell in the world. If they don't have, 300 warehouses here, and I'm talking about the average warehouse is about the size of an average city block. And they got 300 in this little town that I live in. They ain't got one. And they ain't got nothing at them. So the house, the warehouses are going to be used for what? Housing people. Cambridge, like most other places, is pretty close to the middle. They got Fort Pickett on one end, and they got another. They got prison setting of military sites all over the place. Okay, people are trained and at the ready to take you out. Okay, and you don't have. There's not another country, another government, nowhere on earth that's going to come to the rescue of the Moors, okay? Morocco is not the only one that's not coming, okay? All the countries in Africa have been colonized, and they're subordinate to European rule. I don't care if they have left out of South Africa. Don't make a dime worth of difference, okay? And if you notice, how many African countries got any kind of military base? The Jews just built one over there in Israel, right in the heart of the Islamic world. But what does the Africans got? Okay? So you don't have anyone to come to your defense. None. That's what the concentration camps are for. Put you there and make you work to produce whatever they want. And if you don't want to produce, then it's not a problem. Okay? That's what the coffers are for. And they want for... If they want to create a many generations, they can do that too, because all they got to do is do the same kind of breeding, because we don't have sons and daughters, because we're not men and women. In order to be a man or a woman, you must have your own nation, your own government. That's what makes a man and a woman. Otherwise than that, you're breeding, okay? You have kids. And as a result of that, they would take your children, they would make you breed, just like, you know, hey, use a buck. And here's a young, female over here, knock her up. And let's keep that going on. Where are you going to go? You're in a concentration camp. If you don't say this is real, go back a few years to what happened to the Japanese Americans that was here in the United States when Japan invaded the United States. They had all kinds of businesses and things, homes, property, and all. It didn't mean a thing. The United States put every last one of them in a concentration camp. Yes, they gave them reparations years later, try to compensate for after the war. Okay, but that was years later. Most of the people were dead by then. But it was in that concentration camp until the war was over with. Okay? So I'm just giving you that to let you know that Germany, Hitler, the United States, the concentration camps are not new. Okay? And our people, right now, they're going to say, yeah, President Tahagabe don't know what they're talking about. Okay, it's not a problem. Okay? But I tell you one thing, if you don't come together under the Moorish American government, you can kiss your yes, yes, goodbye. All right. Unless you know another way. Now, you can follow behind the Washitas and Tartarik and the Republics and all that. All you want to. The Empress DeMaio, hey, carry on. But I guarantee you one thing. If you're not with a government that recognizes at the United Nations, the United States, and Obama is the divine master, by the way. I'll let it be publicly known. Him and his wife, Michelle, they're both divine members of the Moorish American government, so they already know who we are. At the same time, you better get your act together. Next question. I'm ready.
Okay. Well, I'm going to take one little break and take a look at this thing, and when we come back, then we can analyze some more.
Okay.
FEMA death camps and the red and blue list under martial law. While I have no doubt that the NWO cravers at the CIA have their own list of people to round up and terminate, the actual proper agency behind the now infamous red-blue list is none other than FEMA Black OPS. FEMA is not here to primarily help you. Under a full state of martial law, FEMA is here to send you to their detention camps to sort out who shall live and who shall die. Those unfortunates whose names are found among the millions of fellow Americans on FEMA Red Blue lists will never come out of the FEMA camps alive, although they may have to go through hell before they are finally terminated. Such offenders are essentially deemed resistors of the New World Order, as my CIA and military insiders told me personally. Oh, all of us in the CIA know all about the concentration camps in America and their purpose. We all know that their purpose is to terminate resistors of the New World Order under martial law. Source: Michael Maholi, 20 years Naval Intelligence CIA under Bush Sr. For example, the FEMA death camp of the Mojave is a full gassing cremating death camp, dedicated to the termination of all on FEMA's red blue lists under martial law. I have previously documented this horrific death camp, and documented the eyewitness accounts of several former NWO supporters who were flown out there. My friends, Doc Marquis, Illuminati, and Elaine Nost, CIA Lucifer Ian, formerly high-level Illuminati Lucifer Ians, but now are supposed Christians for many years, were both flown separately to this facility in the Mojave Desert of California. It boasts a landing strip. According to another contact, a D-agent who personally investigated this FEMA facility, it was recently doubled in size to increase killing capacity. It is fully staffed. All staff members wear black SWAT team uniforms. When I asked Doc Marquis what his sentiments were, back when he was a member of the Illuminati and given a tour of this killing facility, his reply was, sheer joy. I rejoiced at the thought of Christians being terminated in this place. A chilling response, but typical of this nation's Satanists and NWO supporters. The FEMA death camp was shown off as something the NWO and FEMA was literally proud of. And there are many more FEMA detention camps whose ultimate purpose under martial law is not to save life, but to terminate human lives deemed unworthy of entering into the dawning of Lucifer's New World Order. Know the cold hard facts about FEMA, and then think twice before going meekly to such camps under a state of martial law in your region. We are all on a red or blue list somewhere. Those on the red list will be walked on at 4 a.m. and taken to the camps and probably killed. Red list, these people are the enemies of the NWO. They are the leaders of patriot groups, outspoken ministers, outspoken talk show hosts, community leaders, and even probably net leaders. These people will be dragged out of their homes at 4 a.m. and will be taken to FEMA detention centers and killed. This will take place approximately 2 weeks before martial law is enforced. Blue list, these are also enemies of the NWO, but are followers of the red list folks. These people will be rounded up after martial law is in place and will be taken to the detention centers and re-educated. Various mind control techniques will be used on them. Most will not survive this. Mr. Springmeier was not specific on exactly who was on the blue list, but I would guess that people such as you and I are on that list. Yellow list, these are citizens who know nothing about the NWO, which is the New World Order, and don't want to know. They are considered to be no threat at all and will be instructed as to how to behave and will most likely do whatever they are told. Unfortunately, there are too many of these to be effectively controlled, so many will be killed or starved. By the way, once you're in the FEMA camp, they will start chipping the people with the satanic RFID chip 666.
Okay, brothers and sisters, listen up. If you got a problem with getting rid of your mortgage contract, if you're receiving anything in the mail from them, if you got a problem with student loans, banks, credit card companies, child support, the Internal Revenue Service, go to newfreehelpgroup.com. That's www.newfreehelpgroup.com. And when you get there, contact me, Tahaka Amana El Bay, area code 904-303-9061 before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we get you set up to get rid of the whole thing. www.newfreehelpgroup.com.
Okay, Grand National Chairman, we are back. And
I'm doing.
I wanted to play that little quick clip there to so we can get another synopsis on what's going on inside the United States. It's common sense to me that if the United States filed Chapter 11 bankruptcy and robbed the people of gold since 1933 and don't issue debt notes, there's no gold to back it up, and they're still borrowing money from other countries, sooner or later, the bubble is going to bust. And here we have the recently we have the shutdown, a so-called shutdown of the federal government. And then when they got back, of course, all the analysts had already told me what was going to happen after this thing was over, and that was exactly what happened. They say what it is was a scam to be able to come back and let the American people know that we have a solution. We're going to raise the debt ceiling. In other words, we're going to do this thing the same way we were doing with nothing, continue to borrow money, and at the same time push us down into deeper and deeper inflationary situations to the point that we have an economic collapse. And we've already made preparations for what's to occur in the event that that happens. And, of course, just as you say, the banks closed, and then we got people who you've been preaching to month after month after month for preparation and getting ready and doing this right here, that's still doing the same old thing and not doing anything to prepare themselves for what's going on. And then at the last minute want to come up and say, well, what do y'all think we ought to do? Well, it's already too late. They already got the camps ready, and they're going to take you, put you in there. You don't want to go, put up resistance. They're going to kill you, throw you in a box, and disintegrate you and go on down the road. What do you think about you gave us a synopsis of pretty much. In my opinion, I think they can pull this thing off right away, anytime they get ready. So my question is, what do you think that we should be able to do in preparation of individual defense where we are right now? Because there are a lot of people who just, you come toward me talking about doing something like that, I'm gonna blow your brains out. So what do you say about that?
And blow your brains out, huh?
Yeah.
I'll put it to you this way. For our people to even remotely think about doing something to the world's most notorious murderer, the king of genocide, it's ludicrous. For example, you may have a gun or two, or even rifles or whatnot. You may even have an assault weapon later on in the basement. You know, a few of our brothers do. But that's like a slingshot standing in front of a missile silo compared to the United States and what they are ready to do to you militarily. I'm just looking on the dealing with the Illuminati. And did you know... on the website, you can look it up, under FEMA. Well, actually, this part is with the New World Order, okay? And under the famous Freemasons, they got Billy Graham, Jesse Jackson, Oral Roberts, Louis Farrakhan.
Okay.
I mean, some of the same people I just mentioned to you, okay? These people have to bury our people, all right? And the reason why it's like that, because when it comes down to us putting up a fight against the United States, the only way that we can fight and win will be able to come into our own and do something we haven't done in 800 years, and that's learn to love each other. Okay? That's the only way out of this. You cannot compete against the United States when it comes down to killing. Impossible. Okay? These people... they're the one, it's right there, vision plan for the three world orders, Albert Pike, 33rd degree, Freemason, Illuminati, who created the Ku Klux Klan. Okay? So, and these groups are everywhere. You know, you can't even go to Walmart without little children, European children there wearing camouflage T-shirts and things. Okay? You know, they're killing deer and things just for practice. So they won't be bothered with killing humans. These are civilians, not to get to the military. Okay, so the only way that the Moors can save themselves, they've got to stop the bull crap that's going on amongst themselves. That's really how I'm a little bit leaning on Tar Sharik and the Moor-sized temple groups and the Washitas and things the way I do, because, look, if I'm wrong, prove it. If I'm right, let's come together. I mean, that's what wisdom say. That's what intelligence say. Okay? Come together in order to save yourself. Because the only way you're going to do that is you got to prove that you are a one nation of people. In fact, once you do that, prove that you're one nation of people, then you have the power to show the United States, wait a minute, you don't have to mess around and let the world come here and kill you. And even if you go to run to Europe, they're going to come up there and kill you too, because you have come to the state like the prophet had prophesied that one day every nation was going to turn against the United States, and the only way they'd be able to do business would be the help of the Moors. And that day is right now. I mean, R-A-T now. Okay? So you'll be able to help the United States. Wait a minute, United States. You ain't got to run around killing folks and concentrating camps and all this other kind of stuff. Let me show you how to do it so we can now diplomatically reconstruct the whole new world order. I'll show you about a new world. Cause your new world is not new. You've been killing people all these tens of thousands of years ever since it come out the mouths of Europe. It ain't changed nothing. It made matters worse. The food is poison. The air you breathe stinks. The water you can't drink, it ain't no good. You done contaminated everything on the planet, and now you want to try to run and spray. You can't run nowhere. So the only salvation that the European have is within the hands of the Moors, us. We have the keys to civilization, us. And we got everything we need to do it, but we got to come together. And the only reason why we're here doing this class and doing this show right now, Moors, those of you who was on this call with Tahaka Bay, give honor to him, is because you're supposed to be here. So you are the ones that can reach out and save our people. This ain't no joke. This ain't no, well, that, they had a real nice little class. Bunk that. What about tomorrow? What you doing for your own children? What you doing for your grandparents? What you doing for your neighbors and things? Okay? What you doing for yourself? So that's my answer to that question, Mo.
Okay. Well, so once again, how important is it for people who insist on being African American, Negro, colored, black, Afro American, to have a nationality? How important is that at this stage in the game?
It's of supreme importance. In other words, it's life and death. Okay? Either you're going to come together under one free national name, or you're going to die. That's how important it is. You're going to die by any other name necessary. Okay? The only thing that even remotely can save you, and Drew Ali prophesied it too, is your free national name. When you go to the UN and you get yourself registered and recognized there as a nation state, then you have the allegiances of every other nation on earth. They say, wait a minute, I'm with them. Don't do nothing to them. Right now, you're vulnerable. Your high part is hanging out there. You ain't got no drawers on right now. But at least if you go before the UN as one sovereign, one nation of people, then you got the other nations. You're going to go with it because you're the mother and father of the entire human family. It's not a problem tracing yourself. They will know who you are when you get up out of this grave and claim yourself. You stand up and recognize. They'll know who you are. Every child recognizes his parents. Okay? I don't care how long they've been asleep. You need to check on these disposable coffins, too. Anyway, if you just send me the, you can put that in the search engine, you know, FEMA's trains, coffins, and concentration camps. FEMA, F-E-M-A. That's, you know who FEMA is. It's the same one that's so-called help you during the time of crisis, right? But FEMA's trains, coffins, and concentration camps, okay, for martial law. Put that in your search engine. FEMA's trains, coffers, and concentration camps. And then you judge for yourself whether Tahaka Bay is trying to do you a favor or he just trying to... No. Anyway, that's what I got to say about that, Mo. Okay?
Okay. Well, we're going to, you know, one thing I know about people and what is, especially my people, and I've experienced this before, and during certain times when certain things happen, we always seem to have an upsurge of assaults by people that look like us against people that look like us in a time of economic crisis. You know, and it doesn't have to be a real solid crisis. It just could be something that, you know, the job thing went down, the gas price, and it seems that our people, their first thing is to go out and see if they can rob their own people. And we have these type of things to contend with. So at this point, do you think that the Moors should have some kind of way to defend themselves?
Joy Lee had a reason for saying don't even carry a pocket knife. Okay. For you, I don't know how many of you have ever been in the military, and that, but I tell you what, let's look at it from a street level, okay? Here you are, walking down the street, minding your business, okay? Then all of a sudden, coming from around the corner, there's three people that you don't recognize. They got masks on and everything, and they got assault rifles. They're fully strapped. They got pistols and everything, okay? Then when you look around, here's some other ones coming out the very houses and buildings that you just walked past. They're coming all, you know, they got the whole block covered. Now, here you are standing there. Oh, you know what? You do have a 38 in your pocket, okay? Now, I ask you, what's going to happen? Okay? So what you can do, like the record said, the old folks used to say, they said, an ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure. Okay? So the idea is to prevent this thing before it happens. Since you know the United States is a falling tree, okay? It's falling so fast, you may not, all of you don't have the time to get out of the way. Some of you are going to get crushed. It ain't no doubt about it. It's already been prophesied it's going to be like that. But others of us can have enough wisdom to get out of the way in time and be able to save those others who want to get out the way. But if you're thinking about, for 1 minute, running up against the United States, fighting them, gun to gun, bullet to bullet, all sorts of kind of stuff, please. No. I mean, hey, if you don't want going out like that, go on. Okay? But at least you know you're gone. Okay? But that's not a win situation. It's impossible to win against a murdering people. That's all they've done. That's all they know all their life. If you don't believe me, ask anybody down in Jamaica, are they the original inhabitants of that whole island? Ask anybody throughout what is now called the United States, any Indian tribe, how many of y'all was it? And how many whole tribes is gone? Ain't coming back. Okay? these people kill other people because, not because they're mad at them, but because they think they're supposed to. I'm not going to recommend my people to go up against the United States with no kind of weapon. Your biggest weapon that you got is above your neck. You got a weapon of mass destruction if you just start thinking. That's why Dwali said it best. He said, look, if I can just get you to thinking, you save yourself. But our people don't know how to think under the slave mentality, because that's what they got. This right now, remember I tell you about the Masons a little earlier, the Negro Masons? These are the non-thinking people on the planet. I just talked about Farrakhan. I met it personally. Busted him with the truth. He had to admit it. He is right under the code of the Black Pope. He ain't nothing but a kiss ass. Well, there I go. Tomorrow, I told you, I can't be on your show. Look,
these Masons,
all of them, these so brothers who call themselves Masons, they are nothing to understand but sucking up to the European and killing our people because it stopped them from thinking. Our people can't think when they think, oh, I'm a Mason, I'm an Eastern Star, I'm a preacher, I'm a school teacher. You dead, that's what you is. Because they won't tell you what's around the corner and what's getting ready to happen here in the United States. They're not telling you. So I encourage everybody on this call, look, believe what Brother Tahakabe is trying to tell you. He is just telling you this so you can learn how to get it out of the court. He's trying to tell you some things that's going to save you, yes, okay? And if you don't believe, go to the website. Go to the FEMA website. Look it up. The FEMA's conferences and the camps and things. Look it up for yourself. Then you ask yourself, is this for the Mexicans? It might be for the Koreans. Or it might be for the Vietnamese. Ask yourself who the concentration camps are for.
Well, I got a caller with his hand raised. I'm going to open up his line to see if he or she has a question in regards to what we are discussing here tonight. Area code 706. Could you tell us who you are, where you're calling from, and what's your question to our guest this evening about the United States and death camps?
Hi, good evening. This is Scott from Georgia. Wow, this is a wealth of information. Really appreciate it. Really constructive. Based on what you were saying just a little bit earlier about getting out of their way, can you suggest some ways for people in the cities and people not in the cities, how do we get out of the way of the ruling populations, the ruling elite who are out to overpower us in every way? How do we get out of the way?
Okay. I'll tell you this. The best way right now is to join with us, your government, in completing the mission. We're at the point now where the only stage that's left for us to do, we've already got everything completed at the United Nations. They're waiting on us. We got the registration. We got the census that they asked us to deliver. In other words, the head count. They call it a tally. This is what we see instructed from Geneva, Switzerland, on our way back, okay? They go back, create a government from amongst themselves with the women and children, and bring us back a tally, a head count, a census, okay? We've got all that in place. But instead of going back as a nation of people, we're going back as a nation state. With that, it's required to have a minimum of 5 other countries that recognize you as a people, which is really not a problem for us. So that's where you can come in at. Okay, we need some connects with the countries in Northwest, Southwest, South, well, anywhere in Africa, don't matter, okay? And also South America and the islands that's free and independent. And they say, well, we have no problem because they all belong to us anyhow, okay? And if you got somebody that's close by that may be able to get maybe $750,000 to help with some transportation that we can send ambassadors to these countries within a short order of time, that'll help also. That's where we're at right now, okay? And my phone number, of course, is here. 434-676-1555. That's 434-676-1555. Or you can hit me on my cell, 434-480-5057. That's what you can do right now to save yourself. Pull together under your own government and proclaim yourself, and it's on.
Does that answer your question, brother? Hello? He's probably gone. Okay. Grand National Chairman, now about the concentration camps in regards to the Masons, because I think we may have some brothers that still think, well, I'm a Mason, so when it comes to the concentration camps, you know, I could just flash my ring or flash my sign, and they would know, you know, I'm on their side, and don't put me in the camp. What you think about that?
Well, all they got to do, number one, is flash their color. Get rid of that, okay? Because that's what the United States go by, all right? They go by, I'm a white man, and anybody else that ain't white, you yes, this is grass, okay? The other thing is, when it comes down to them oaths and things, let me tell you something, brothers, and you sisters who they done made a fool out of, call you all Eastern Stars and things, with the, getting your blessing between your legs. Look, let me be straight up with you about this right here. You are not held accountable for the oaths that you have taken while you did not know who you were. If you don't have an idea about your free national name, if you don't have a clue about your nationality, if you don't know anything about who you're, I'm not talking about just the Ruth is the Moabitess. No, we're not just talking about that. Prove it. If you cannot prove that you are a free national individual, that you come forth from the very heart of the great God, okay, then you need some help. You got to be taught. You got to be educated. But the main thing is you are not held accountable for the oath that you take while you was in a coma. Okay? Most of you have been to hospitals. At least you watched enough TV to know what a person looked like when they're in a coma. Okay? Now, when you find a person in a coma in a hospital, something you could do is jump out anything you want to do to them. They don't know they're in a coma. They don't know. Okay? And in some cases, depending upon the institution, they have sex with them, all kinds of things. But what thing about it is when you come out of that coma and you're still doing the same thing you were doing when you was in the coma, that means you like it. Okay? So you're not held accountable for the oath that you take to be a Mason, the oath that you took to be a star. Not, you're not held accountable for that under the circumstances when you do not know who you are. That makes it nil and void. It is no good. You cannot make a person take an oath who is not held accountable. That's why the Europeans, when they established the Masonic Order, they say you must be a pale-skinned male with what? A sound mind and body. Okay? Age 21. All right? So that means how in the world are you going to take an oath and your mind ain't sound? You don't even know who you are. So you can't take an oath and you don't know who you are. You took an oath while you was in a coma. It don't count. And all you got to do is you go to any order right now and you tell the worshipful master and all the rest, say, you know what? I'm out of here because I didn't know who I was when I took that oath, and I'm not free agents except that neither no other black people, neither is you. Now, you want to come go with me because I'm on my way to freedom, or you want to stay here. Bye. Ain't nothing they don't cut your tongue out and cut you in half and all that. None of that's going to happen. None of it. They don't have that kind of power. Okay. How's that, Brother Tucker?
Yes, sir. Well, that's dead on. I'm going to give us another little break right quick and reexamine this thing, and when we come back, we will resume the broadcast. If you hold on
Okay, and I'll be out of here in what?
On the phone that he's been driving stuff to military bases. He's been putting he's been carrying crates of these bullets and delivering them to the military bases, and he's carrying 16 crates at a time. He said they're very heavy. They're 2 feet high by 8 feet wide. The other thing he told me is that he's been carrying stun grenades, truckloads of stun grenades. And, you know, so I don't know exactly how they work. I think they don't explode, but they give a concussion off, from what I understand. He also said that FEMA told him he's having a new phone issued to him in November. And also that there has been a lot of military movements, and he was in a there was a truck with him that was had a 100-foot long load on it, and it was something military. I don't know what it was. I don't know what would be 100 feet long, but it was one piece of military equipment. Also, he said that in the Mojave Desert, they are having military drops. They're dropping stuff, big equipment, military equipment in the Mojave Desert. You know, from where he was, I think the Mojave Desert's pretty big, and I'm not quite sure where that exactly that is. Now, the other thing he said to me, which was really interesting, is he said to me that he said all the truck drivers are talking about it, and I mentioned this. He did mention this to me a couple of weeks ago when we talked before about Russian and Polish truck drivers in Canada that have disappeared in the United States. 30% of them, 30% of the Russians and Polish, he said in particular, truck drivers, that their trucks and the drivers have disappeared. So what that means, I don't know. Are they going somewhere? Are they missing? But 30% of the Russian and Polish truck drivers are just vanished. And everybody's aware of it. So, or the people that are, the truckers anyways. So I thought that was kind of interesting. You know, I mean, he is saying that he's going to give it 3 more weeks and he's getting out of there, is what he said to me. You know, I think that was pretty well said. I mean, it's not fresh in my mind. That I talked about this yesterday. If I forgot.
Okay, what was the other thing that he said?
He said that there was a message in the text that he had sent me about the military bases. So he said, figure it out yourself. So he did say Denver, Colorado. Dallas, Texas, Houston, Texas, and San Antonio. So apparently that's where the military base is, where he's been running these bullets. Now, the other thing he said, too, was the fact that that there's been a mass grave found in Laredo, Texas. Anybody hear about this? Has anybody heard about this? He said that it was found last week.
Where was it at? I mean, Laredo, Texas, is it by some kind of a military base or something, or what?
I'm not sure. He didn't say. He just said that he wasn't allowed to go down around that area. And he said between two places, between Laredo and somewhere else, starts with a B.
Okay, Grand National Chairman, we're back. Now
I've got about 5 more minutes. I'm going to have to be gone myself.
Okay, you going to give us some last words before you pull out?
Oh, yeah. Anybody got any more questions?
No, we don't have any more questions.
Okay, well, mainly I just, like to leave the websites and the contact information.
Okay.
Because it's time now to unify. The door is open for all organizations, all groups, all religions, wherever my people is at, the door is open for you. Come on to the government. Come on to the Morris American government. You know, our phone number is 434-676-1555. The website, www.morrisamericangov.org. That's G-O-V for government, morrisamericangov.org. And you can go to, for registration, you can also go to sevenseelspublications.com. That's S-E-V-E-N, seven, seals, S-E-A-L-S, publication with an S, .com. You can register there as well and get supplies and literature and things. Again, we're not in this for the money. We're in this for the freedom. Please do not get it twisted. This ain't that. Besides, we ain't seen nobody with our face on it, so it's not that important, okay? Right now, the only thing that's important to the Moors is to get themselves free. If you can save your mind, then you really don't have to worry about your behind, okay? So that's what I have to say. And it's been a blessing speaking with you, Moore. Anytime I can help out, just let me know. I'd be glad to come back again. Islam?
Islam, Mo. I'm certainly appreciate you being here.
Send my love to all.
Area code 504. Can you tell us who you are, where you're calling from, where you're from? 504. Got a lot of back? I know us.
Peace and blessings. This is Digger. I'm calling from the Future Inc. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia right now. I wanted to salute both you and the Grandmaster Chief on today's lessons. And Grandmaster, if you're still on your ears, I just joined the family tree. Well, your respect, but I'm part of the family, and I'm trying to really gather this information. And again, Pop, like, I respect what you're doing. I'm looking for a greater opportunity to reason with you hand in hand, but I do have a question, and well, a couple, but this one mainly. I'm noticing the distraction that a lot of people are going through based off of aesthetics. Do you find that to be a cause for the family as far as the Moorish community blossoming in its right format? Do you find that to be a challenge in how you're viewing things as far as the aesthetic? I noticed that if people feel that it doesn't have a certain look to it or something, then they don't want to really support it. Are you, like, how do you feel about that concept there?
Well, the way I view that concept is the way I view all concepts and anything that I decide to get involved with. First of all, I have to view everything from my position as a man,
right.
First of all. And
right.
if it's designed to benefit my people, I check it out. Now, I've been all the way there, and he and I, we have travel around in the city and stuff and spent time with each other and stuff, and I know exactly what he's trying to do. And I became a part of what he was doing because it was a worthwhile call to benefit our people. I learned
right.
the difference between government and organization. But I look, the first thing I do with it, any time you are dealing with any kind of situation, it doesn't matter what it is. Anytime if somebody comes to you and tells you something about something that they have going on that they are part of, and they're trying to do this, that, and the other, what I do is what I have been trained to do. The first thing I'm going to look at, regardless of anything that you tell me about what you're belonging to, what your goals are, what your passions are, any of that. The first thing I'm going to do is look at you, the man. That's the first thing I'm going to do. And when I see any kind of discrepancies in that, now we have a problem. Because you can't leave me nowhere if you ain't one of that, one of them. So I've already examined the brother personally, man to man, face to face, toe to toe, down at the dinner table, side by side, any kind of way you want to put it. And I've looked at the objective, I've looked at the people, I've listened to them, been there, talked to them. So all systems go as far as I'm concerned. Now, when we have people who have all different kinds of information in their head and agendas and thoughts and beliefs and all that, that's fine. But once again, I have to look at the man. I have had men tell me, well, look, I'm gonna provide you with information concerning this, and we're going to need you to do this, that, and the other. And the first thing I'm going to say, well, okay, first of all, let me get a chance to you and I sit down and, man to man. And the reason I have to do that is because that's all I know. I don't know nothing else. That's where I came from, right? I came from a place where this was just standard procedure. So as far as that's concerned, I don't fold under any distractions or anything like that. We discussed the whole thing about the FEMA camps and all that. But I don't have any fear of that because I can't. It's not in me. It's
true.
You can't call yourself a man running around scared to die. Every minute you spend doing that, you ain't fit to live. That's just me personally, out of the cloth.
Yeah,
I don't live in them kind of fears.
Okay. All right. So now, with that being said, I'm noticing, even in myself, and what I'm dealing with specifically as it pertains to me being a father and having to go through this circus act that I'm being forced into as it pertains to my son, it's caused me to become more of a stickler about words and the origin, the truest, most root expression of how was it authored, because I'm recognizing my dispute, if you will, when I'm inside the commerce arena called the courtroom, the foreign country that I enter to, I noticed that the words had another connotation and definition, and it caused me to really look into it heavily. And I know a lot of people that, and pardon me for saying people, to all the men and the women out there, but I'm saying it in a general exchange on how we've exercised it in motion, not in a litigated or political fashion, but I'm giving this by definition so you'll understand even the very definition of calling yourself a person, people, or individual, that carries a very significant weight to it in addition to every other word. So I guess what I'm pressing as far as a statement / question form is, how are you as far as teaching the definitions, in addition to everybody going out and researching, because it's a lot of information out there, and as the brother Grand Chief Master was expressing, there's a lot of people that express things, and you don't want to call them too much imposters, because they're really in the role for what they signed up for, but they're imposturing to some of the people. But how do you feel about the words, the stacking up of the words and how we speak? Like, even me aiming to communicate with you right now, you first have to process your immediate definitions of each word that I'm saying, and then hopefully our vibration resonates to where you can feel what I'm saying. You dig what I'm saying? So, like, how is that translation for you, and how do you and the rest of the family go about helping the other minds comprehend what's really being said? Because some people's comprehension level it only goes to a certain level because of how they was taught. So how, what's your take on that?
Well, I'm going to have to answer your question off the air because I had to go into the commercial. But as far as the answer to that question is, I always encourage the brothers and sisters to do their research and to define the words. That's one of the reasons why I created Tahaka's Archives, the Master Library. You got, almost $4,000 worth of law books in there and a ton of other books all throughout that thing, so that if there is a word or a phrase that you don't understand, you look it up. Now, if you have a problem reading and comprehending, what I recommend that you do is go get somebody who does have this skill. A lot of us have a whole lot of things that we may not have considered. A lot of us have went to school. We may have went to 9th or 10th grade and dropped out or whatever, but we do have teachers that are retired now that we can go to and say, well, you know, I would like to get with you, and could you help me understand this that I'm trying to do? If I have some documents, can you help me with that until we learn? Then we got free classes that's going on inside the country, free little GED classes, and you go in there and say, well, look, the only thing I want to know is English. I just want to know words. I just want to be able to understand words so I can convey things, look up things, and understand things, because that's what it's all about, understanding things and being able to use what we understand to move to the next situation or to cause more happiness in our life or provide some more substance or whatever it is that we have to do. That's the bottom line with that. But now, what I want to point out, too, is this situation that we have going on inside the United States, we have to look at some things. First of all, if we look at the inception of this country, they have dealt with everybody as far as enslaving them and all of them. Things the Indians, the so-called Indians, there's no such thing as what except if you unless you came from India, but then they got the Chinese people, and but then they discovered that these people were not fit to handle the rigorous burdens, but what they have found out is the people of African descent was fit. So they enslaved these people, and of course, as a result of that, we now officially have America. And then we have proven over and over and over, even in the boxing ring and stuff with Jack Johnson and all that, who the real man is as far as strength and all this stuff goes. So it stands to reason that one of the most important aspects of who they will put in the concentration camps is the people who they know is fitted. So therefore, if you are not aware, you need to become aware, and you need to think seriously about this situation. Everybody don't have a mountains of fear. Everybody is not born that way. You know, we look back to the ancient times of the dinosaurs, and I was always fascinated by the dinosaurs, especially the Tyrannosaurus dinosaur. He was just a creature that came along. It didn't matter what happened. It just ate you up. You either kill him or he's going to kill you. One of the two. There's no on the side. No kind of other thing. It's just straight through you, period. And so, but we don't have a whole lot of these kind of people inside the United States. So, what I've done is provided some information that you can survive. You can grow your own food. You can learn how to hunt, how to fish, how to trap, how to shoot, and all this stuff, because I know for a fact you overcome fear with skill. If you got skills, then you are not living in all kind of fear and stuff. walk through the most violent neighborhoods in the middle of the night, 2-3 o'clock in the morning, with a tuxedo on, two pockets full of money. But I don't know. I guess it must have been God or something, probably, you know. But I just walked straight through there. I didn't have no fear, you know, because I hadn't done nothing to you. And there's no reason in the world for you to do anything to me. We don't need this kind of violence. So if you would study and do your research and prepare, because this thing that we're talking about tonight, this thing is certain. All the indications are in place. Everything is in place. They got disposable. They got concentration camps all over the United States. They've ordered millions and millions of specialized bullets and all kind of stuff. And so you're going to have to prepare. We know we got a fiat currency. And what I'm trying to do is get the Moors to get out of the contracts that they're in. If you're bound by these contracts, you want to cancel these contracts, get out of there. Open up you a little small business. Detach yourself from a subservient situation on a job and start generating you some capital while you can in order to invest in the protection and the sustenance for your family. And it's a system designed to save you. Your educational information is there. Everything that you need is there and available for you. Okay, so this is what we're doing here.
Hi, everybody. You know, I'm not that familiar with the rules of warfare, but why would you have somebody else's foreign troops participating in what you're doing? I just don't get that. It seems illogical to me. Anyhow, an unsettling report prepared by the Emergencies Ministry, EMERCOM, or EMERCOM, circulating in the Kremlin today on the just-completed talks between Russia and the United States in Washington, D.C., says that the Obama regime has requested at least 15,000 Russian troops trained in disaster relief and crowd functions, for example, riot control, be pre-positioned to respond to FEMA Region 3 during an unspecified upcoming disaster. According to this report, this unprecedented request, see, it's unprecedented, was made directly to Minister Vladimir Puchkov by U.S. Department of Homeland Security DHS Director Janet Napolitano, who said these Russian troops would work directly and jointly with her Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, part of whose mission is to secure the continuity of the U.S. government in the event of natural disasters or war. Important to note, this report says, is that FEMA Region 3, the area Russian troops are being requested for, includes Washington, D.C. and the surrounding states of Maryland, Pennsylvania, Virginia, and West Virginia, strongly suggesting that the Obama regime has lost confidence in its own military, being able to secure its survival should it be called upon to do so. Or is it that they don't trust them to obey orders? That's kind of fishy if you ask me. And besides that, that doesn't make any sense because the United States has troops in other countries all over the world. All they have to do is bring them home. I mean, come on, give us a break. In his public statements yesterday regarding these matters, Minister Puchkov stated, we have decided that the U.S. Federal Emergency Management Agency and Russia's Emergencies Ministry will work together to develop systems to protect people and territory from cosmic impacts. Okay, let's read that again. Protect people and territory from cosmic impacts. Wow. and further noted that his meeting with DHS Director Napolitano also covered other kinds of natural emergencies, such as recent years' extreme weather in both Russia and the United States. Well, I heard they're supposed to have 128 degrees in this week in the United States. That's deadly. Anyhow, in the SEMARCOM report, however, Minister Puchkov notes that the Russian troops being requested by the Obama regime would more than likely be paired with U.S. DHS troops, who last year purchased nearly 2 billion rounds of ammunition and just this past month placed an emergency order for riot gear. As to what upcoming natural disaster the U.S. is preparing for, this report continues, appears to be strongly related to last week's assassination of American reporter Michael Hastings, who was killed while attempting to reach the safety of the Israeli consulate in Los Angeles. And as we had reported in our 20th of June report, top U.S. journalist attempting to reach Israeli consulate assassinated. Further to be noted about Hastings' assassination by the Obama regime is the continued U.S. mainstream propaganda news cover-up of it. Though many freelance reporters continue to uncover the truth, such as Jim Stone, whose investigation noted that the rear portion of Hastings' car was blown open and shredded, with the rest of the car nicely intact, which runs counter to the official story that this vehicle has hit a tree. Not mentioned in this EMERCOM report is any suggestion that Russia would comply with this request from the Obama regime, especially in light of the horrifying information being given to Russian intelligence analysts from Edward Snowden, who has been labeled as the most wanted man in the world. According to one Federal Security Services FSB bulletin on their continued debriefing of Snowden and analysis of the information he has provided Russian intelligence officers, his father, Lonnie Snowden, was an officer in the U.S. Coast Guard during the September 11th 2001 attacks on the United States, who had direct knowledge of the true events that occurred and whom their real perpetrators are or were. Being directly affected by the 11th events of 9/11, this FSB bulletin says Snowden self-initiated a multi-year effort to gain access to America's top secrets, a mission which, when recently completed, led him to contact various international reporters, including Hastings, whom he believed could be trusted with disseminating the information he had obtained. Though known to us directly from our Kremlin sources as to the exact connections Snowden's information proves regarding 9/11 and both the Bush and Obama regimes, and the even more horrific event soon to come, a June 2013 Defense Advisory Notice, DA notice, prevents our being able to at this time. Likewise, and as the assassination of the Hastings clearly shows, the Obama regime claims a legal right to kill anyone it so chooses without any charges or trial they believe may threaten U.S. national security. And what Snowden's information reveals definitely falls into that category. What can be said, though, there is a critical reason billionaires all over the world have been dumping their stocks, and fast. Have they really been dumping their stocks? I don't know about that. Anyhow, and those who are not able to read between the lines will soon find themselves in the most dangerous situation they ever encountered. So, what have I got to say about this article? Well, the main thing is the upcoming disaster and the particular area. So, if you live in that area, you better be aware of this article, okay? They know something they're not telling you. That's the shocking thing about it. What's the upcoming emergency? Aren't they giving you any chance to evacuate or prepare? Ask yourself these questions. Okay, so where exactly is FEMA Region 3? Okay, that is the area includes Washington, D.C., and the surrounding states of Maryland, Pennsylvania, Virginia, and West Virginia. If you live there, you better phone up your representative from the government and ask them what the frickin' emergency is that they're preparing for so that you can prepare. It's not really fair, is it, to prepare for an upcoming emergency and not tell the people that live in the states? Your government wants you dead. Maybe that's what they're preparing for, the first round of executions with the guillotines, the first ones to go to the FEMA camps. I hope you're ready. That's all I can say. Oh, my goodness. Not good news. Not good news at all. I'm going to post a link to this full article below. Thank you for listening to my commentary on the article.
Okay, Mo, we back. Now, as far as this situation is concerned, we have to look at the reality in the face of reality. Anytime there is a collapse, anytime there's a serious problem economically inside a country, or a city, or a county, for that matter, and there's scarcity of work, scarcity of food, price too high, and, you know, we can't get no employment, well, a man is faced with survival. And so, you know, in a situation like that, a lot of men may not have transportation, but he's still faced with survival. So therefore, if he's in a neighborhood, he got to get food, he got to do this, he got to do that and the other. So the first thing he's going to do is try to accommodate himself right where he is, in the closest area that he could possibly do this at. So in my opinion, I think we need to understand this. We cannot look at this thing from a situation where, okay, the United States is going to do the dollar thing and everything going to collapse, and then we're going to be dealing with troops. No, that's not the way it goes. The first thing happens is we're going to have to deal with our immediate situation, our immediate protection, our immediate survival. And just like the Grand National Chairman had said to us, we can go now and become citizens of our own government, registered, dial in and get our wisdom from the national conference calls and stuff on a daily basis. But in my opinion, I still think that we need to make sure that we have a clear and concise understanding of the entire magnitude of the situation we're talking about. When we had the Katrina situation down in New Orleans, I was examining the videos where the people were looting. They were, you know, just, you know, they had no food, and they had no water, and they have, you know, houses destroyed and all this there. They're trying to survive. And but what the troops did, when they came in, the troops went and got the people who were in areas that were not affected by the Katrina situation. These were wealthy Europeans. They had big, nice homes and stuff. They had an arsenal and all that. The troops came in and said, well, we confiscating the guns. So they go past the looters and start confiscating the guns from the people who were not affected. They had the people sitting out there on the lawns, went in the house, took all their guns and all that, and removed it. And so this is quite interesting to me, where you going to, it seems to me that you're trying to use this situation to disarm the people who can defend themselves in a situation. You know, we have, and then they got all these, you know, different programs going on across the United States called the Gun Buyback Program. where the sheriff, he's paying people $75, $80, $125, $150 to turn in your gun. And he got these things set up in all the so-called African-American communities. And the brothers and sisters is going down there turning in turning in their guns for fiat. Amazing. Then we had a brother. This guy here, he wants to be recognized for starting the gun buyback program in the city. And I'm looking at him. He said, "Lot of people." Got to be the biggest, dumbest. Amazing. But nevertheless, we have to look at this situation in the face of reality, and we have to think. Everybody's going to have to end up dealing with their own personal immediate circumstances. When there is a collapse inside a country and there's a scarcity of food, we have an environment that we live in, and we have to understand that a lot of the environments that we live in has encroached on nature. They have built communities, they have built houses and suburbs and all this stuff, and pushed the animals that was indigenous to that area and had been there all their lives and stuff and had lived there, and pushed them out, back out into the wooded areas. But you will discover if there is no food for man, there is no food for animal. So the animals will come back and have no choice but to come back and inhabit the areas that they once left from. And this kind of stuff is going on all over the country. You know, we got bears, people calling animal control to me. There's a bear in my front yard, in my backyard. Well, no, you in the bear's front yard. You have to understand this, because the bear, he was there long before you ever came to this country. So how is it all of a sudden that you done destroyed the bear's environment and then the bear ain't got no business being there? No, he was always there in the beginning, until you came. So, and we have moose. They come in town up in the northern states, and they have been, all you got to do is get on YouTube and type it in, and you'll see for yourself where the moose is actually coming into the city where the cars and trucks and the stores are and actually killing people, stomping them to death, and all kind of stuff. But then they're saying that we don't understand this, and something is wrong with the weather. Something is wrong with the environment. And I was like, yeah, no. You in these animal yard. It is amazing. It is so important for us to do the research. If we do the research and we look at these things, we got electrical wires running all down through our cities, underground electricity. We got generators and all of this stuff right here. And then there's a big storm that comes on and tear all this down, all the lights go out, and then we got water everywhere and people trying to walk through the water, and all of a sudden they electrocuted because we got live wires on the water. You see, all of this stuff happens. We got roads, holes covering the ground, whole ground collapse, whole houses go underground, and all kind of stuff. And we got trees, because right here where I am, you know, a hurricane come out here a couple of years ago. Trees, big giant trees, they fall all the way across the road, whole street block. Then we got the storm to put out the lights. So now we got people riding down the road, and then the car fall over in a hole because they can't see under there. You know, so you have to, it behooves us to do the research and to prepare and to use our wits and to think and become into the knowledge of this kind of stuff and realize what we are faced with and make any kind of preparations that you can for survival for those of you who are not prepared for that. By now, out of all the broadcasts and stuff that I've done, and not to mention the other research that you've done on your own, you should have good drinkable water stored. You should have food that you can eat. You should have flashlights and batteries. You should have survival equipment. You should have these things already. You should not wait till the last minute and say, well, I'm going on when I get a little extra money. Well, you understand this is not a situation where this ain't Christmas that comes once a year. This is a matter of survival, man. I mean, if you got a family, you got a wife, you got children, what have you, as the head of the house, sit down and thought about their protection, their survival? What are you doing to protect yourself? What kind of medical supplies do you have? If there's a problem, what do you have that you can use to defend your family, to protect your family? I had a situation not too long ago. My oldest son's mother, she called me, and she said, "The police come to the house looking for my son." And so they got a whole road blocked off, and they got this. They done cornered off the road and everything. And I asked her, she was all frantic. I said, well, did a man come in the house with a gun around my grandchildren? And she forced me out of me, hung on the phone, and I called back, called, kind of, because I wanted this question answered for me. And she said, well, no, he didn't come to the house. He came up to the door, but they had this, had that. And I said, well, did he give you a card? She said, yes. I said, give me the number of the car. So I called the man, and I asked him, I said, man, did you come inside my that house? Did you go inside that house with them grandchildren in there? Did you do that? No, I didn't go in the house with them. I said, well, how many men did you have at that door? I didn't have no men at the door. I said, okay. And I hung up the phone with him. Anyway, never, needless to say, I managed to get him over here to the house. So we said, I'm man to man, so he explained to me what happened. You know, why are you looking for my son? What you doing? And he told me that he was working for the school board, and that they wanted him to. He just wanted to sit down and talk to him. I said, well, okay, he's here. Well, all three of us can sit down and talk. He won't sit down. He won't stand up. It ain't make no difference, you know, because he had his gun and man too. He didn't say nothing wrong, and everything went all right. And he was all over, and he got on up out of here. And but then the thing is, my question to you is, what are you prepared to do to protect yourself and to protect your family? You know, do you have sustenance? Do you have water, good, clean, drinking water? Who knows? You may not even get a chance to. Your house may be destroyed. We don't know. But are you prepared in the event that it's not? Is what I'm asking you. Because this thing involving the FEMA camp situation, it is real. And I think that at right now today, what we should be doing is we should be exiting these contracts that we're involved in, that we're connected to. We should also be getting in a position, if we're not already in that position, to generate some income for ourselves so that we can supply all that we need. Because this is a very, very, very serious situation that we have here in the United States. We just had a big storm hit the Philippines. Thousands of people are dead. And we got they have declared a national disaster. And the different countries are trying to get there to aid these people. And now the weather people are telling us that in the next day or so, they're about to be hit again. with another storm. Then we got people up in New York City that here recently has been hit by a storm. So apart from what you have to survive physically with the materials that you have, what type of skills do you have? Can you survive? Can you do something to protect your family, protect yourself, and protect your family? What kind of first aid do you have? What do you know? What kind of skills do you have? This is important, and we have to stop. We have to stop postponing this. We can't postpone this. This is a priority. This should be done upfront. Number one, this got to be done. We got to stop thinking that, well, my neighbor, he's got this, that, and the other. He's all right, man. And as soon as I get a little extra money, I'm gonna go ahead on the start. Now, you can't think like that. You cannot think like that. This is a priority. This should be, even if you thinking about getting married and raising a family, you should have this already in mind that you're going to do. This should be number one. If you ain't got but $20 a week to invest in some of it, a little bit at a time or whatever it takes to get it done, to get it there, and prepare yourself for survival. You have to have some resources. If you have a family, you have to have resources. If you by yourself, you have to have resources. If the lights go out in the house, can you provide light? Do you have candles? Do you have flashlights? Do you have batteries? Do you have a lantern? You know, what you got? All of this have to be considered. These things are vital. You have to look at where you are right now. We're inside the United States of America. A lot of us live in right in the heart of the cities. A lot of us live on the outskirts in the suburbs. People in the cities, they may be faced with high levels of crime and robbery and all kind of stuff. No lights, no water, and can't even walk the streets in the night. You know, got to wait the daylight before you get out of the street. And then when you get out of the streets in the daytime, you got to protect yourself from a guy who lived three doors down from you. It's amazing, what could go on. But the greatest focal point in your life is when preparedness and opportunity meets. So if we are prepared, then we're able to survive some things. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, brothers and sisters, listen up. If you got a problem with getting rid of your mortgage contract, if you're receiving anything in the mail from them, if you got a problem with student loans, banks, credit card companies, child support, the Internal Revenue Service, go to newfreehelpgroup.com. That's www.newfreehelpgroup.com. And when you get there, contact me, Tahaka Amana L. Bay, area code 904-303-9061 before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we get you set up to get rid of the whole thing. www.newfreehelpgroup.com.
All right, we're back. Now, tomorrow night at 7:45 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we will host our wealth building conference call. 7:45 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's 559. 712-432-3100. The access code is 865074. That's 7:45 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The free wealth building class will be held. And the number to dial is 712-432-3100. The access code is 865074. And I look to see all of you there. And I must say that I thank all the brothers and sisters who are on my team. I must say y'all some wonderful scholars because when we're delivering this information, they'd be quiet as a mouse. And the brothers would be reading. They'd be not reading, but they'd be writing. They'd be going to the information on the Internet and stuff. And I feel like you're really, really making some progress. And so we have some new stuff for you tomorrow. And this is quite fantastic. We're going to deal with you another angle from our LinkedIn and your social sites, YouTube, and some things you can do there, and a few other things offline, out in the public, and all that. We'll deal with that tomorrow night at 7:45 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on our wealth building conference call. And then we'll be coming back after that and start dealing with your contracts, your mortgages, your student loans and stuff, because it's important for us now to one of the most important things that the Grand National Chairman was discussing with us tonight is them gathering up Negro colors and blacks and putting them in these concentration camps. But now, long before that happens, we're going to be suffering from some other things. And this is the contract that we're tied to, you know, these tentacles and stuff that's wrapping us up financially. We got to get out of these things. We got to separate ourselves from them things and start getting in position to be disconnected from these things and be able to provide proof that we are disconnected. And so this is why it's so important for us to understand where we are, what we are connected to, about contract law, about where we are inside the United States. This is why I keep teaching this information so that we can get it right. And we do have brothers and sisters across the country who are actually disconnecting themselves from the contracts. And if you're disconnecting yourself from the contract, the only thing left for you to do now is go ahead and connect to you something that you can create and you can own for yourself. Your own company, your own business, so you can generate your own revenue while this thing is still there. And so if you generating some capital, then you are able to invest in survival supplies. You know, you either have some extra money that you can do it with, or you're going to have to alter some things in your immediate lifestyle on a job to try to do the same thing. And you'll find yourself behind and still connected to the contract that you should have got out of in the first place. Okay? Now, we have today the, I'm dealing with the MCA Matrix Plus. Okay. The MCA Matrix Plus, to get involved with that, that's $79.88 one time. Okay? After that, that's $36.99 a month. But the way to do this thing is learn skills where you can generate your sponsorships by sharing this with other people. $80 hits your account. Okay, now once $80 hit that account, that's it. You're good for 2 months. Okay. And a little bit more. You don't have to make that $36.99 payment. They automatically debit from the account because you got that little bit of money sitting right there. You got to worry about that. But along with that, because you did this, I'm going to give you to all the archives. That archive, we asked for a donation of $60. All right. So now, if you join the Matrix, you got your own business, and because you did that, you got an archive, so you're dealing with what? You're dealing with about $12 or $13 that it took to get you your own business because you got a massive library that handles a lot of other things, your studies and education and all this stuff. And survival skills, all that's in there. So it is a no-brainer, in my opinion. And I would love to have you on my team because the people on my team, they get trained. They learn how to do things. I had a sister contact me yesterday, send me her website. I looked over. I said, you got some stuff on your website that I ain't got on mine. And I was quite proud of her. And she said, well, I'm ready. I'm moving on. I said, well, all right. Okay, so now what's going to happen with this sister is she's going to diversify her income. She's not only going to be dependent on a job, even though she makes good money there, but you got sense enough to know that no matter what kind of job, there's no such thing as security in a job. You don't have any security in a job. The only security you think you got there is as long as you're able to perform. And just like she has told us, that people who have a job, they have a clause right there in your contract giving them the right to fire you anytime they get ready. So how much security could you possibly have? There is none. The only security you have is when you create your own business. You be your own man, your own woman. You got your own thing. You determine when you go to work. You determine how much money you're going to make. You determine what time of day you're going to be off. You determine what kind of food you're going to eat. You're doing that. You're the boss. And the only way you're going to do that is you're going to have to take advantage of what opportunities are made available to you. So for those of you who are concerned about getting your own business, go to www.taharkapowernomics.net. That's T-A-R-H-A-K-A, powernomics.net. And get you little free articles there. That comes to you in the email. But once you sign up for the Platinum Matrix, you automatically get Taharka's archives and send that straight to you. And so if you're spending $79.95 to have your own business, which is pretty much unheard of for the benefit package that you're gonna get, which is unheard of, and then you're gonna get a massive library on top of that that we're asking for a donation of $60 for, so that leaves a difference of about $12-$13. That is a no-brainer. I can't understand how anybody can mess that up. I don't know how you can mess that up. But anyway, nevertheless, it's there and available for you. Keep in mind that we are going to be having the Grand National Chairman back in the future, and we're going to be discussing some other things. And he gave us some very, very thorough information involving the Treaty of Peace and Friendship. So I hope that we've gotten that straightened out. And the information involving the Moorish flag, we got that straightened out, and exactly what the concentration camps are designed for and all of that stuff. So I think that we have covered a lot of information here. If there's anybody got a question or comment, go ahead and raise your hand, and I'll open up the line. We got several minutes left, so please be brief. Just go ahead and raise your hand. I see the little symbol on the side. I'll open up the line so you can let me know what's on your mind, okay? Now, until you do that, we will be right back.
I've been asked over and over by a lot of people about the exercising your freedom of rights to travel. And that is something that I have done. I've done it quite well, and I do it today. However, it is something that you have to understand. First of all, there are things that you need to know in order to have the confidence to get out there on that pavement and defend yourself and be able to do this thing successfully. This information is contained in Taharka's archives. Go to www.newfreehelpgroup.com, and once you look over that page, click on taharkaarchives.org. Go over there, and you'll see Taharka's archives master library, where the audio, video, the documentation, and everything else that you would need is right there available for you in order for you to exercise your freedom of rights to travel. That saves you a ton of money. That saves you jail. That keeps you from having to have a driver's license, tag, registration, and all that kind of stuff. www.newfreehelpgroup.com. Once you get there, contact me, Taharka Amana L. Bay, at area code 904-303-9061. Try to call me before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Okay, Moses, we're back. We're down to the last little few minutes, and I just want to say I certainly appreciate all of you for being here. And keep in mind that we'll be testing some more very informative ads right there on Facebook. And we put it on Google Plus and put it in my blog post and everything and send it all out on LinkedIn and everywhere. So for those of you who are on your social sites, if you would send me Taharka Amana L. Bay a friend request, I can grant that because they keep me blocked over there. I can't even send out an invitation to a broadcast. They got me blocked on that. If I befriend somebody, they blocked me on. Somebody don't like me, but that's all right because every time we do a show, we have full switchboards, so I ain't worried about them. We just keep on going because the brothers and sisters, they are looking for information. It's my duty to put that information out. Nobody have any questions or comments, so we're going to go ahead. And I look forward to seeing you all tomorrow night at 7:45 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you don't have a business, be there. If you thought about having one day, be there. If you got a business and you're trying to get it going online, be there. If you got something offline, be there. We're going to talk about all that. I've been your host, Tahaka Manayel Bay, and until next time, you all have a good day. Okay?